Well, hi, everybody. This is Dave. I wanted to mention, after I sent and forwarded the blog to you about the best books on writing from my buddy John David Mann, I got a note from him that was prematurely released as a blog, that he didn't have it up yet. It should be corrected soon. So if you touched on that and looked at what will be his blog on that, it's a preview of a coming attraction rather than immediately available. He had a little glitch in his system, so it wasn't posted when it should be. Thanks for your comments and questions and the kind words, and I want to mention to Michael, who sent a question in about thoughts on the value of a book agent. That's part of what we're going to be talking about today, looking at the business of writing and the aspects that I think might be helpful in thinking about telling and selling your story. So we will be talking about that. Thoughts or questions or clarifications or anything you want to be sure we include and wrap in to our discussion? I want to especially save some time at the end to get any kind of feedback, your thoughts, or what your takeaway from this series is. If you have a commitment to yourself that you'd like to make out loud to the group, I welcome that. So anything that you want to say or summarize at the end, I'm going to preserve some time. Or if we need to, if you guys can, we'll go over a little bit to be sure we have a discussion that answers all of your questions, because I don't want you to leave with anything other than a commitment to writing, and any unanswered question will take some energy. So we'll address that. So anything at the beginning? You got the attachment that I sent, the Brain Science of Story. So I thought about some of the questions that you sent in, and again, I appreciate those. I hope this will begin to address at least some aspects of that I hope will be of interest and benefit to you. Anything else? Anything before we start? Questions, comments? If not, we'll move right into it. I came across some wisdom by Mark Twain that I wanted to pass on. It has to do with a past class. Remember, we talked about editing. I need a management of the background noise. I tell you what, I'm going to go on lecture mode. I want to ask everyone, when we go back into discussion mode at the end, to please manage background noise and not walk away, or actually keep it on *6 mute until you're ready to talk. The wisdom from Mark Twain in terms of editing, this is how he put it. Substitute damn every time you're inclined to write very. Your editor will delete it, and the writing will be just as it should be. Okay? So, and here's in speaking of the silver bullet principle, and what's your core message in clear, brief, simple language, 10 words or less? This is not quite 10 words or less, but here's an example of a core message. Your good news, your aha. Here's the message. See if you recognize who it's from. You know that all of y'all messed up. It's on me. Don't worry, I got you covered. The message is salvation. The messenger, Jesus. So that's a delivery system of a core message. Okay, now let's talk about what we should be talking about. We're going to talk about the business of writing. I think this is in your outline. I'm not sure, but I want to repeat it here because it kind of establishes the framework. Somebody once asked Ira Gershwin, the great American songwriter, what comes first, the words or the music? His very quick answer, the contract. So here's a brief recap as we discuss selling your story. Writing is like selling. It must solve a problem or meet a need. Do your homework. Foster connections and affiliations. Do research. Develop marketing strategies. Whatever way you publish, and we're going to talk about those ways today, gather information for information input plus feedback. Critique groups, classes, conferences, networks, writer groups. For nonfiction books, publishers buy a book proposal and the first chapter. For every other kind of publishing other than with a traditional publisher, still do the book proposal because it's your organizer, your blueprint. Three secrets of writing success. Choose what you want. Believe it will be yours. And take positive action toward that goal every day. As a coach, consultant, or business person, you already know how to do the thing that writers find most difficult. Think about the sale. The essence of publishing, it's a business with a bottom line, with risk, with a marketplace, with a business goal. You create and market a product, your knowledge. A writer may mistakenly put all energy into crafting a message rather than also thinking like a business person. Both are necessary. So let's revisit the three questions we talked about at the beginning to see how far we've come. One, how do you write a book? Well, same way you begin seeing yellow Jeeps after visualizing one. Once you begin to think about writing a book, you start to see things in different ways. You cue your radar. You hear vignettes. Ideas crystallize. You develop awareness of what you say and how you say it. It makes you a better listener. It makes you a better speaker. Remember, no one ever sits down to write a book. You sit down to write a few sentences or a page. Two, why do you want to write? To sell the book? To develop a second career? To further your existing career? To learn something? For the joy of writing? To make a difference? Maybe the majority of those. Three, for whom do you write? Remember that your first, most authentic answer is for yourself. Yet you have to respect the marketplace. Be attuned to needs. Provide answers. Make your approaches to answers accessible, clear, brief, simple, specific. You attune to existing needs as well as remain true to your own story. Your gift to readers is who you are. Okay, let's talk about the options for getting your book published. And there are a number of ways to go. We usually think about traditional publishing and an agent. There's some other things to think about. One is self-publishing. You can form your own publishing company. I did that for one book, and I'll illustrate the steps from that experience. Each book, when you produce it, can cost between $2 to $3 to print, depending on quality. You ideally want to find someone who prints and also has the capacity to sell single or bulk orders so you don't have to keep the stuff in your garage. If you publish a book that companies or large groups can use, you can sell multiples of several thousand. You can even customize it for a particular organization and put their name on the cover, and even have a message from the CEO as an introduction. Here are the considerations and steps to constructing your book if you self-publish. Now, these price figures are just ballparks based on maybe a 250-word typewritten double. One is editing. After completing your manuscript, you'll need to get it edited by a professional editor. The cost is a few hundred dollars. Now, on each of these, if you want to email me when you get to this step, I'll give you a personal introduction to the head of an editing consortium that I use. He'll match your work to an editor knowledgeable in that area for the most reasonable fee around. They also have people who do transitions, like who will review it for submission to an agent or even possibly do agenting themselves. But this is just about editing. First step is editing. Next is formatting. You're looking at a Word manuscript. You want it to look like a book. You'll need to get it formatted for a book. This, instead of a typewritten page, this is by a graphics person. Examples would be the curriculum and the client workbook for the licensed specialty certification that I do, New Life Story Wellness, New Money Story, and the most recent, the Peak Performance Institute. The person makes it look like a book, whether it's ebook or actually published. Next, indexing. You may need to do that or want to do that for a book that is actually looking like a book instead of a training manual. And the cost there is maybe $300 to $500. In the graphic design, this can be done simultaneously with these first three steps. You can get a graphics firm to do the book cover, the spine, and the back. And that's $300 to $450, and ditto for a referral. If you want it to be a traditional book, the ISBN number and barcode and services are online for that, about $100. Then you send all of that as a package to a printer, and that's where you get to $2 to $3 per book if you do like 500 copies, 1,000 copies. And think about the initial investment here. This is not a cheap deal. And then if you want to avoid warehousing and distribution, arrange warehousing of your book with the publisher to handle orders for single copies. And they can do that as a part of their fee. Second area of publication, type of publication, a subsidy publishing. With a subsidy publisher, you pay part of the publishing costs. The benefit is that you have a publishing house that does all of the above work that I just described, except editing, and you only do the writing and submit to them an edited manuscript. Unless you negotiate hard, you won't have much of an influence of any of the choices, though, except maybe the cover. A third, print on demand. Now, these are things you're probably more familiar with, like Ex Libris or iUniverse or Author House. And you can get packages of print on demand for up to maybe $1,000, and you submit the edited manuscript. They'll do all the subsequent steps of publishing, along with placing your book with a book distributor, and it's online with Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and it's distributed both perhaps in a digital and a hardcover copy. You get, let's say hard copy, you get copies at an author's discount. You get 40%, you pay 40%, most cases, of what the book sells for. But now you don't determine anything except you send the book to them and you pay their fee. You don't determine the price. They set the cover price. It's usually fairly high, from $25 to $35. So if you purchase it for $15, if you sell it back of the room, you're making $10. So that's not a way to retire. None of these so far is something you do if you are motivated to make money. The benefit, it gets your book out there. You have a book within a few months. You also get to actively participate in the cover choice. Now, I've done each of these. There's one exception I'll take. I did the book on making memories, Reflections on Parenting in the Heart of a Father and the Mind of a Psychoanalyst, because, as I mentioned, that was my therapy. I did not want an editor to touch a comma of that book. I wanted it exactly as I did it, and all I was interested in was doing it, and then maybe secondarily, someday, both of my kids would read it. That was my objective. Now, it happened to land well and, you know, be reviewed. interviewed, and you know, that was lanyap. That was not my intent. Again, this is not something you want to do to make money. Four is a fulfillment house. They'll take an order, and that's like when you got a copy of the Accelerator from CTA. That's what I'm talking about from a fulfillment house. You probably got a digital version if you've trained recently, but and that's useful for everything that you do, even a training manual, because people internationally, it costs as much to ship the darn thing there as it does, you know, the purchase price. If any of those of you who have done training with me for the curriculum, the client workbook, of the wellness training, of the financial coaches training, those were the manuals, the hard copy manuals, were done at the same place that CTA does theirs. And that's ideal because it's a huge three-ring binder, and you set it up where as soon as somebody places an order, signs up for the training, it queues at the fulfillment house the shipment, and they ship it directly to the person. And the cost of a training manual is maybe $25 plus shipping, and you can combine two for under 50. So they work with an edited manuscript and a cover art from a disc. So you've completed the manuscript, you've edited it, you've formatted it for the particular style and guidelines they have. I use Speaker Fulfillment Services out of Indiana. And I send them this stuff, and they keep about 10 printed on hand, ready to ship so that there's no delay. And I've been very pleased with them for some time. I can do updates and second editions and all without, you know, with very little work and no expense, because they go from what I send them. I use the same fulfillment house for all of my MentorPath training publications. The new, I'll talk about that in a minute. So whenever somebody purchases a hard copy of anything or a training program that includes a hard copy and pays online, the automatic order is placed at the fulfillment house. It's shipped. So this is, you want to make it very easy. You don't want to do anything out of your garage except park your car. You can see cover examples of some of these products at mentorpath.com/library, just to get an idea of what I'm talking about. Five, a traditional publishing house and a traditional agent. For nonfiction books, you submit a book proposal and a first chapter to an agent. There are lists of agents by a publication called Writer's Digest. There's an entire book of agents. It'll tell you what they specialize in, what they're interested in, if they're accepting, and you can match and send. Royalties usually range from 10 to 15% and can be negotiated for increasing increments according to the number of copies. So an initial advance on royalty that's customary for a first-time author is somewhere around $5,000 to $10,000. You get on an advance on royalty for two reasons. It's money for you, no questions needed there. Two, it's the publisher's commitment to your book. And the usual agent's fee is 15%. So, as I mentioned, it's as hard to find an agent as it is a publisher. And this takes a while. It takes several months in putting it out. You can put your proposal out simultaneously to several agents. Some require that you specify that you are doing simultaneous submission. Some will only say you can only do it once. That's a tough deal because it'll take months, and by the time you back it up and get it accepted by an agent, you've already changed your mind. So, you know, look at that, and then it's another, year before once accepted by a publisher before it comes out. So we're looking at 18 months here. Six, and this is the one I have not done, but I've known people and talked with a person who's expert on it, partnering with a foundation or a company. In this option, the foundation or the company or the organization may support the writing and the promotion of your book to further their cause, or they may want to incorporate it as something they author. Now, the author usually has a special tie with the organization and donates maybe a significant portion of the proceeds to the group. I don't know if it's something you want to consider, but I want to mention it because I wanted to cover the waterfront about the publishing options. 7, an e-book. This is easy. An e-book can be set up for an automatic purchase from your website. It can be part, if you do it through Amazon's e-book publisher, BookBaby. It's something I did for a compilation of roadmap case studies because I wanted the coaches who trained with me to have a marketing tool and put together some of the case studies because it gives them an example of the power of the system, and they can do that link to any potential clients. And it's something you can set up for a few hundred bucks. They have a package that's a couple hundred dollars, then you set it up where it's not a way to make money, but it's definitely a way to get a book out there. Now, you'll see, and I'm sorry to use personal examples, but I kind of know them the best. You'll see on my email the link for www.neuromentorinstitute.com. Those are 3 ebooks. I call them playbooks. They're all downloadable. And I had my graphics person actually put them together. He did a turnkey operation, and he did my the webinars that are recorded to go along with the training. So that's another way to go. It's a potential referral if you'd like that. So it's easy to do an ebook, and you can have it for sale, like on Amazon or some other digital option, or your website, or both. 8 is the next one, the final one, is a kind of a joint venture publication. The one I'm familiar with is Launch Moxie, LaunchMoxie. They did my 3 books for neuromarketing, 3 ebooks that are flip books, like, you know, text and audio. They produce the whole thing, and they keep 50% of the sales. I get 50%. They have a whole bunch of other authors, and they promote it. And for that, I get 25%. They get 50, and whoever is the affiliate gets 50, and then Launch Moxie and I split 25. So these are just to give you an idea of what you want to do, of what the options are. So here's one thing to keep in mind. For any book you publish, consider also having an ebook option that you can control. If it's a traditional publisher, you can't do that. The last book I published, Engaging the Ineffable, was a group of 21 essays that I did mostly for the mentor coaches as white papers, as continuing education. They do an ebook, but I can't control it, and they did the publication. Now, they did only light editing, Engaging the Ineffable toward mindfulness and meaning. And the last 3 books I published traditionally, I don't control the ebook, so it's something you may want to think about if you want to negotiate. Now, copyright, for any form or venue of publishing, from article to book, always keep your copyright on any work you produce. Never sign it over to anyone else under any circumstances. It's your intellectual property. If they ask, if they negotiate, if they push hard, no. The law grants you automatic copyright protection when you create your work. It doesn't have to be registered by the government at the U.S. Patent and Copyright. It doesn't have to be registered with that form to do for, you know, $100-$150. But if you have something you're really proud of, registration for copyright does establish a public record of the copyright claim. And before any infringement suit can be filed in court, registration is necessary for works of U.S. origin. So whenever you have a work out there, buy the website, because that way it'll tell you if anybody's using your copyright term or your work, and you can have a cease and desist letter. I have a form that's worked every time. I'll be happy to share it with you. So let's look now, why self-publish? Self-publishing has at least five benefits. I'll go through them quickly because you probably already know. One is control. You determine everything that's done, including the timetable. Two, money. You know, you get 15% from a traditional publisher. Once you have an ebook, have it in place, 100%. You know, you have 100 people buy it, the overhead is still the same, zero pennies. It's pure income. It's marketing that you may want to spend time and maybe money on if you want to do that. Three, waiting and rejection. Realistically, first-time authors have difficulty breaking into a blue-chip publishing house. Many nonfiction book projects are time-sensitive. You may not want to wait that 18 or 24 months for your book to be published. There is no longer a stigma of self-publication. It used to be called, you know, back like a decade and a half and before ago, it used to be called vanity publishing, and it was the death knell for serious authors. Nobody would think about it. I even heard in person a noted international agent who suggested to another person collaborating with her that that person self-publish in order to get established. Four, autonomy. You have a lot more autonomy. You're an expert in your area. You don't need a publisher's approval. And probably like being in the driver's seat of your project. Five, the power of belief. You probably believe deeply that others will benefit from reading what you have. Say, you wouldn't be listening to this right now or wanting your message to have a more permanent form and home. I'll bet that's an unshakable conviction. I bet it's also a deep belief that motivates what you do as well as what you write, a strong sense of purpose. That's why you need to write a book. That's why you need to get the book out there so that others can see it. So you may want to consider self-publishing in some form. I mentioned, and I'm not going to reiterate here, I did the one I did with Ex Libris, Making Memories. That's what I did. I began writing it a year and a half before my son, my oldest, left for college. I completed it a year after my youngest, my daughter, also left for college. It was my way of saying goodbye to parenting, the most important thing I had ever done. I needed to bring closure and do my own therapy for an important, an entire era of my life without burdening them. And my son actually put it in words. Close to the graduation, you find it, Dad, now this is hard enough. I don't want you being all sad so visibly, okay? I was mourning their childhood as well as the kid I could be again with them. So I got two. I wanted both my children to know someday what it was like being their parent from my perspective. I didn't want an editor to touch a comma. I wanted to be exactly what I said. I even wanted for the cover a picture that I took of my own abstract sculpture of a dad holding two kids. No one cares more about your book than you do. Okay, let's review titles that tell and sell. 3 to 5 words that capture the essence of the book's promise. Remember, because that goes directly from the midbrain to the decision-making parts, not passing through emotional, intellectual, logical, got to think about it. Secondly, does the title sell? It's an answer, not a solution, not a problem. Is the title positive and empowering? Is the title a memorable image or metaphor or symbol that captures the essence of the book? Is it a hook, in other words? 70% of people think visually, so does it evoke an image? Is the title a prescription for the cure that the book will provide without being about problems that don't pass the airplane test? Does the title make a promise the book will fulfill? Does it offer your unique position, your good news? Does it speak to one of the five great marketing motivators? Fear, like think about the insurance agency. Exclusivity, guilt, greed, or the need for approval. Now, greed's just got a bad reputation, but its definition is a rapacious desire for more. That is, a passion. And, of course, that's what motivates your writing, to tell and tell your story. Does the title appeal to the needs and values of the potential readers? Does the subtitle clearly spell out the benefits of reading the book? So here's an exercise I'd like to suggest you do. Create an appointment with yourself, no interruptions, no telephone, get grounded and centered. Brainstorm a title for your book. Don't editor, censor, try to focus, but free associate, brainstorm, stream of consciousness. Allow a free flow of ideas and write it down. Put down anything and everything that comes to your mind that even halfway resembles a title. Come up with 30 potential titles that you write down. Another day, brainstorm a subtitle. Do the same with your subtitle. Same free flow, not just same time as your brainstorm. A different day, carve out a separate time. Brainstorm 30 possible subtitles. Later another day, come back to your brainstorm titles and subtitles. Select your favorites of each. Put those away for at least 24 hours, and then come back the next time and see which ones began to fit together, which ones seem to ring true and seem engaging. Select maybe the top three or four or five of each. Another exercise, if you're not exercised out, bullet points. Write five after this. This is in sequence now. Write 5 to 6 bullet points of benefits readers will get by reading your work. Again, make them clear, brief, simple, no more than 5 or 6 bullets ever of benefits readers will get. That's why they're going to buy the book anyhow, so you might as well point out to them what you're going to deliver. Now, so here's a roadmap for publishing nonfiction. This is kind of roughly in the order of occurrence. And this is in your outline. Come up with your title. Do your homework, your research. Decide whether you're going to type, dictate, or write your material, your drafts. Research the topic in competition. Remember Google Alerts. Develop a title and subtitle. Find similar books to model. Design a working cover page. Create a kind of mock-up and how you envision what your book is going to look like. Set aside a binder or a container for your materials, and a way that you can put those materials into a basic structure, like a folder for each title or something that's your own unique organization, to organize your ideas into chapters. Generate a complete book proposal, even if you're self-publishing. Create your first draft of chapter 1. Edit and review the first draft to create a second draft to ensure, like, punctuation, grammar. Remember, a final form of self-editing is to read it out loud. So read your last draft out loud as another editing step. So a couple of missile, and then you may want to get the book proposal and the first chapter edited if you want to use it to send to an agent. So here's some miscellaneous points, and these are just kind of, I want to go through these quickly, but just things to think about. Two crucial elements are execution and marketing. Think about both. You don't, and this is a little dated, you don't have to be Lance Armstrong to teach people to ride a bicycle. If you're blocked, skip past it and move to the next thing. If you're blocked in writing, get somebody else in the room and tell them what you're trying to say that you're blocked on. Hear how that's a different output channel? Consider having a digital dictation device running because you may not remember. Record, better yet, video yourself pitching your idea. Then get another person to critique your pitch. Communicate the message when you're writing. Communicate the value to the reader when you're selling. So here's about platform. Think about that from the beginning and where to build platform. If you're working on a book project, what do you do first? Write your book, set up a website or a blog, anything like a blog, a newsletter. Does it matter? Well, it does matter. It matters based on what you decide your destination of the book is going to be. That's why you want to have the end in mind in the beginning. Remember from coaching, what do you want to focus on? What do you want to take away? If you don't know where you're going, any map will do. For a major book deal, you'll do things a little bit differently from what you would do to fill a coaching practice or establish yourself as a speaker. Your platform, your presence in the marketplace is how many people you know you who know you, as well as why people know you. Your brand is tied to your audience. For any major book deals, an existing platform is crucial. And remember, I mentioned to sell your book as well as to build a business and expand your audience, same thing, growing the platform. For a major book deal, as I also mentioned, the first question an agent's going to ask you as an author, because this is the first question a publisher asks the agent, what's your platform? In other words, how many people know you? How many people do you know who will buy your book? That's your mailing list. Now, your email list may be a portion of that. Those are the people who have consented to get an email from you. They signed on for something. They signed on for your blog. They've signed on for a newsletter. You know, they've subscribed to something you have. They've downloaded a free ebook. And you've built up your platform in this way. So you've built up your email list, maybe by blog and guest blogging, affiliate memberships, writing articles, speaking workshops, seminars. Whatever you do, think about how you can capture emails. That's the equity of virtual reality. The equity of internet is emails. Think about affiliate contacts and partnerships, but be sure it's something you're going to be proud to be associated with. And think about various kinds of media exposure, contacts. A simple example that is expanding in the era of business and social media, LinkedIn, the best business network, social media. You can do, as you know, live things. I have a live interview coming up Wednesday about the new program on Facebook. So these are things that can really expand what you do. A second area a reason you want to develop a platform to enhance your coaching practice. Your brand is your promise. Brand and niche are important. If you want to become a professional speaker for major media, to look at if you want to go in that direction, if you want to be if you want to line up guest podcasts, if you want to publish in way, various things. Common to all of these above is authentic brand and niche. You need to have your brand because that represents you in the marketplace. The brand is your internal organizer of who you are. The opposite of a brand, generic. You may want to write white papers, and that may be an application in various business settings and business media. When you do a presentation, you may want to have a brief white paper related to the topic accessible on the homepage of your website or downloadable by the person who's doing let's say, I'll give you an example again because I know the detail. I'm doing a guest podcast out of England this Wednesday of next week. And I have an annotated outline with some resources at the back that people are going to download because they can follow the podcast without having to take notes, and it's an interview format, so it's not a, well, it's a podcast. And guess what? That outline has contact information for me. So anytime you do a presentation, hand out an outline. If it's, you know, post-COVID, you do it live, hand out an outline on your letterhead because that's got your contact information. Whatever you do, have a download. A webinar, a podcast, have a download that has your information. So here are some things, and these are kind of random, but things you can do to promote your book. Buy the domain name as soon as you have the title. Start your blog. You don't need a website. You can do blogger.com or WordPress. Write some articles on your topic and submit them for various places. Put together your own plan, your own marketing plan. Look at maybe creating an email signature. You see on my signature, you know, what I'm doing right now. I'll send you guys a follow-up email and a thank you with my previous signature line that had the two titles of the books that were released and a link for Amazon to give you an idea of how shamelessly self-promoting my emails are. Think about the things you do to develop your platform. I'm not going to go through all of these. There's a list in the outline. You may want to donate a copy. Things that you may not think about. Donate a copy or two of your book to a charity silent auction. And if you attend, sign it for the winner. Have your cards there. But mostly, and I think in your outline I have all these, the last one, number 19, get to work on your next book. Sometimes the best way to sell your first book is by promoting your second. I think I told you the example when I was nudged by McGraw-Hill, who published Secret Language of Money, to start a blog. I was very resilient. I finally did it. And what I found was I enjoyed the heck out of doing it. I found all kind of things that were blockable. It was the subject of the book, money psychology, neuroeconomics. I began to find all kind of things blockable. It enhanced my research. About 40% of the blogs were converted into the sequel, with work, of course, of Your New Money Story. So there's a repurposing and a flow of the body of your work. So these are just things to think about. If you want to make a business of your book and you want to make a lot of money at it, self-publishing may be the right choice, but it takes a lot of work. The upfront fee is bigger, but at the end of the day, you may make a lot more if you sell it. So if you have a story to tell and the capacity to execute it cogently, your story deserves to find a market. Making a success of any self-published book takes time and money. Don't underestimate that. And we all wish we would turn in a book, somebody would publish it, and they do the marketing. Ain't going to happen. It's never been the case. It's been an ideal. But that's just not the case. Plan on doing the work continuously and shifting it to how you want to sell it. Marketing figured prominently. Let me give you an example here. Marketing figured prominently in the success of L. Trevor Grant's book on New York's foster care system. After being rejected by publishers all over town, Dr. Grant, a former social worker with a child welfare agency, decided to publish the book himself. He managed to get the book seen by nearly everyone who had something to do with child welfare, and a key, studying it in college. Someone also saw the book and called, at the time, Geraldo Rivera. You got to have this guy on your show. His life has never been the same since. His book is used as a teaching tool in schools of social work. Jack Canfield said he sent a copy of his new book to jurors on the O.J. Simpson trial. Whenever the TV cameras panned the jurors during recess, most of them were reading his book, and sales skyrocketed. Strategy. Most people who buy books will know something about the subject of the book. A much smaller percentage will know the author. And nobody knows anything about the publisher. Readers don't care who publishes them. I mean, I happen to look every time who publishes it, but no normal people look for the publisher. It's the readers we all write for. To publicize your book, you have to capture people's attention in a world filled with media noise. Remember your silver bullet, the clear, sharply focused description of your book that explains what it's about, why it's special, and the precise benefits it will provide to readers. Remember Jesus' bullet. Got you all covered. Now, the business of writing. I want to mention something here. So here's my preface. I'm going to cover the whole deal, the whole waterfront about the business of writing. And here's an aspect that not everybody thinks about. And I want to be sure we talk about it. So here's my preface so I can say what I want you to say. This is going to self-delete on the recording. In all matters regarding your tax return, be certain to consult a qualified professional. Now, that's going to self-delete everything that follows this, so we can talk now. Many of you know about these deductions already. You can deduct expenses related to the business of your writing, including supplies, equipment, books, subscriptions, expenses related to research. Marketing expenses include advertisement, promotion, business-related meals and travel, pencils, paper-mate pens. Why do you think you read so many novels that are set in Rome, Paris, or Monte Carlo instead of downtown Newark? Marketing expenses including advertising, promotion, and business-related meals and travel. The key to each of these deductions, keep adequate records. You can even now, without triggering an audit, if you have a portion of your home that you have exclusively for an office, there's a way to deduct that, a standard deduction that doesn't require a bunch of stuff that is basically pretty much audit-free, I'm told. Keep adequate records, though. Document the business purpose. If you don't already have one for a related business like coaching, consider opening a separate bank account. Take out a separate credit card for business expenses. A separate business name would help. For some time now, I have rarely committed a non-deductible act. So, and remember, we're going to, for those of you who may have tuned in a little bit late, I don't have my dashboard in front of me, I want to extend the time a bit if you're interested in a discussion, question and answer. I'd like to hear from you. I've got just a minute or two more, and then we'll move into the discussion mode. I want to offer a final thought, a secret, and a Zen story for authors, and that are the thought. Once you start writing, you will never look at a piece of writing the same way again. Once you begin capturing your thoughts and musings, you'll feel a magnetic pull to continue. Guaranteed. When you find your personal style for capturing your thoughts, images, and feelings, it may be writing on a yellow pad, seeing your words materialized on a computer screen, or holding a dictation device to speak to an imagined audience. It will have its own appeal, and when you find one that fits with your style and your learning style and performance style, it's going to be dynamite. It's going to facilitate it because nothing gets in the way. If you're an auditory person, you don't have to pause and figure out where J is or the semicolon on the keyboard. Think of experiences that have been pivotal for you in opening new awareness. These are goofy examples, but after a cross-country bike trip with a buddy in high school, I've never since looked at inclines and terrains in the same way without immense appreciation. As a photographer, I see light and framing in a different way. After my first watercolor class, I've never seen an aspen tree since without thinking of that particular wrist motion to get that downward branch etching on a trunk. I think about that so many times when, every year except this year, and I'm deprived, spending part of March skiing in Steamboat. And this is something that God knew in her infinite wisdom since the beginning of time about etchings on aspen trees. I never noticed until I did the walk. You will begin to appreciate things, especially in your topic area, in a very different way. Your book will take on a life of its own. Some of you already know this. Now, I hope our time together to consider some notions about the art, the craft, the science, and the business of writing have been helpful. I hope it's been perturbating as well as affirming. And I hope in a small way to inform and guide you to make a difference for yourself and for others with your present and future books. The secret? One book's like a potato chip. That's a short secret. Here's the Zen story for authors. An oak tree is brought into creation by two simultaneous forces. One is the acorn from which it begins, the seed holding all the promise and potential for the full mature tree. The other force is the future tree itself, which desires so powerfully to exist that it pulls its seed, the acorn, into being. It draws forth from the germ and guides the evolution from nothingness to maturity. In this respect, it's the oak tree that creates the acorn from which it's born. Your book desires full creation and maturity. You already are in a unique relationship with it. Listen carefully. Nurture it. Prune it. Let it grow and be born. Thank you for the privilege of talking with you. Hang on and we'll move into discussion mode. Okay, what you got? What would be helpful to talk about or to elaborate about or just to clarify? Somebody already
started. This is Michael.
You were warming up by that. Yeah, Michael, I knew that was your warm up there. Go ahead.
You can count on me to step in here.
I know. Some things are mine for sure. Go ahead.
There you go. On the platform, if you're aiming towards traditional publishing, in the book proposal, how specific do you have to be about articulating your platform? Where I'm coming from is like, if you've done radio interviews and you've done webinars, which I've done, I don't necessarily have connections, direct connections to all of the people who may have watched it or, you know, do you have to be able to say or specify to a traditional publisher that you have direct contact with a big platform?
Yes.
Or is this secondary? Okay.
No, direct. For specifics, they'll want to know how many people are in your following, email list, all the possibilities, social media, LinkedIn, or way less, and an email list is between 7 and 20 times more beneficial than a similar business or social media by most recent mm-hmm. estimates. If you have done some things, there's a place to put that about where you've presented. They will also want to know where you have plans and commitments to do presentations. Whatever platform, medium, you know, podcast, whatever you have, they'll want to know that. They're into numbers. They're into this is a business totally for them. And you
right.
will have to sell the book. And look at affiliates
okay.
because that's important. One thing, let me give you an example. The when we went with when I went with McGraw-Hill and published with them, they demanded, they, as I mentioned, they demanded a blog. They looked at things. They looked at all the affiliates, which was the accumulation of the mailing lists of all the people who did testimonials, who agreed also to do their email list, which is one way to go, kind of an affiliate deal, not really, but, you know, especially people you know who've done you favors, who you've done favors.
Mm-hmm.
So our total email list at the time, all sent out on the same day of release, was 1.2 million. But that's the list of everybody. But the coordinate, the key here is we went out on the same day, so it would really jack up the thing. One way to do this, the last thing I participated in is a book put together called The Successful Mind. I did a chapter on the aspects of extreme success, dealing with that. One of the things I'm working on and developing as part of the peak performance training, there are about 22 to 24 authors there. And that guy was a master at that because he had everybody do certain things. I agreed to participate if I didn't have to promote it because I really protect my list, but usually don't get away with that. But all 24, however many chapters, people did that, and it zipped to number one on Amazon because mm-hmm. they all had their list. That's one way to go about it, too. Be an editor.
I'm sorry, Dave, to interrupt. Is that what you mean by an affiliate? You talked about the joint venture and affiliates, and I was unclear.
Classically, no. An affiliate is somebody you agree to share profits with. Like Launch Moxie, Waterstone Publishing is part of that. It's something that people participate in and publish, knowing that other people are going to be selling their stuff, and you agree, if you do agree, which I didn't, to sell other people's stuff. Again, I protect my list, and I don't. You know, I don't vouch for anything
okay.
that I don't really know, but that's what I mean. And think about an affiliate, you know, like an example, an easy deal. I have an affiliate status for people who are familiar with the peak performance training that I'm about to launch and have a free deal for next Monday. And anybody who requests gets an affiliate link, and if somebody they sell to, they get $450. That's a true affiliate. I'm mentioning, and I apologize for anything that is kind of even bordering on self-promote, but I'm giving you examples of what I know because I don't know a lot of the other stuff and what other people do.
Mm-hmm.
I know affiliate fees run very high, and you'll have to offer affiliate fees for traditional stuff like an ebook of 50 or 60% to somebody else. So that's kind of the ballpark of what we're talking about when it's not like a program or something like that. Does that, Michael, answer your question?
I think so. So it would be somebody who agrees to market your book on their own. That would be one model.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, you're offering them a percentage or a fee or whatever.
Yeah, that's a simple way. That sounds more like a referral fee, which you may want to do for your coaching practice. But there are affiliate networks that will do this and put you into a network of like-minded or like-topic people. So think broader for that and research that. Launch Moxie is one. There are many others. They approach me. I really like the model, and they did an outstanding job, I thought, with my three neuromarketing books. So that's just an example I give. You might want to check that out. If you want a referral, if you have something, I'll be happy to facilitate that. Let me be sure we're covering. Thank you, Michael, and I hope that began to answer. Other questions, clarifications, or things you'd like to talk about from anybody? I'm interested to hear from as many of you as possible who have decided to hang on. could you, in one sentence, say your most important takeaway from this series of four seminars? The thing that's been most valuable, your most important takeaway. Anyone?
Dave?
Michael, what about, go ahead, yes?
Oh, Dave, this is Missy.
Oh, hey, welcome, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Great. I'm great, thanks.
Good. Well, my takeaway is that I'm writing. And so that inspiration has happened, and I'm trying to follow the rules of at least 250 words a day. So
that's terrific. I've completed my purpose here then. If you're writing, that's great. Thank you for sharing
you.
That. That's the
mm-hmm.
action item. That's what we want to do, to put it in the output channel. That's something we don't talk enough about in coaching, the output channel. You've heard me mention tell this story, but of people who really want to complete the circuitry in the brain and make a commitment, the output channel is really important. Here's a simple, simple example. University of Waterloo did a study of people reading passages from a book. The whole group read the same passage. Half the group read it out loud. Half the group read it to themselves. They did a test. The group who read it out loud did 40% better on the test. They had completed the circuitry, put it in an output channel, and it made more of a memory. It makes a difference. Put it in an output channel. Talk it into a dictaphone. Type it. Write it on a yellow pad. My favorite author, Pat Conroy, everything he wrote, favorite novelist, everything he wrote, he did on a yellow pad. You know, he spent some time in Paris, and he couldn't find a transcriptionist there, and he was there for 2 years, so it set back his right. I could have helped him if he'd asked, you know, a dictaphone, a dictation device. But everything, yeah, so find your style and do it. So that's the best progress note. I'm writing. That's clear, brief, simple, and specific. Thank you, Mitzi. Who else? Anybody else dare after that?
Well, Dave, I think the idea of writing a book proposal, whether you're going to submit to a traditional publisher or not, was very useful. And useful tool and the discipline to make sure that, you know, you really sort of are clear about what it is you want to write and how you're going to go about doing it. And your note about something to the effect of you don't need to be creative, you just need to have a plan.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Made good sense to me if you really go through the steps of doing the proposal.
It makes the whole thing real. Just like a blueprint for a house. You began to see it, you began to think about it, and it helps you to write because you already have the outline, you framed it. And a framework determines everything that follows. The outline is the framework of your book. And think about how much we determine framework. The brain registers anxiety and excitement in the same way. How we frame it determines which direction we go.
Mm-hmm.
The first words boot up an entire mindset that frames the rest of the conversation. Having the blueprint really does make a difference. So, yeah, thanks for mentioning that. And I think it is important. No matter, it's work to do it, and you may want to just write. I mean, I'd like to have somebody else do it. But it will inform everything that follows.
Do you consider writing the book proposal to be, does that count in your 250 words a day or 500 words a day of writing?
Oh, I definitely count it.
Okay.
You bet. It's writing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It needs a plan, and it's a pre-plan for your book, so it's part of your book. Yeah. By the time you've got the book proposal done, you've probably done 25 or 30% of the work of the writing. Because
mm-hmm.
you've done the research, the thinking, you've put every chapter into a one-page summary. You know, I've known authors who have expressed that only about 30% of the writing after the book proposal is the work they put in for the writing. So it makes a big difference. Anyone else who wants to offer what's your biggest takeaway? Or any suggestions or follow up or other thoughts you have about the seminar series? I'm very eager to hear. Anyone else there? Yes, go ahead. This is who?
This is Julia.
Please, go ahead. Thank you.
Hi there. I just wanted to say thank you. I am writing. I'm not quite doing 250 words a day. Some days I'm doing a lot, but some days I'm not. I'm just sitting there and I get blocked.
You're sitting there and you get blocked?
I get blocked, yeah. I mean, I have like almost every struggle that you.
May I coach you for a moment?
Sure.
You put that in a passive tense as if blocking is a noun, as if it's something that happens to you rather than a story you're creating. So first, I would suggest you consider whatever we think and feel and experience of what we create each moment. If you stop yourself, then look at how you do that. What's the conversation you have the instant before you stop yourself? But probably the best remedy would be to get very present, grounded and centered in a state of mind and sustain that state through your writing. Blocking is simply losing that flow, that performance flow of writing. Think about the equivalent in any kind of action sequence like sports or a presentation. The equivalent is choking. You can think about that even for a second. Choking is when you lose the flow. You know, for example, I worked with an Olympic gymnast. And she noted, this was right before she was to compete in the Olympics, and there was something that was just, she was a little bit off her game. What we recognized was that for a second, she would look at her primary opponent in the prelims, and that would lose her flow for a moment. So we created a way for her to get in flow to sustain that so that there was no compromise. So get in the performance flow of writing, do whatever you need to do to sustain that. And blocking is simply a pause and to look at what you need to do to sustain that. There's a free webinar of a guy I know very well called Master States of Mind. It's on the homepage of my website, Mentor Path, and it's about this. It's like 30, 35 minutes. And it's about understanding states of mind, which is the most important thing an author can do in writing, is to get in that performance flow and sustain it. So that would be, since you gave me permission to coach you, that would be your assignment, to look at that webinar and see if it makes sense to you about mastering states of mind, and especially entering and sustaining performance. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, I appreciate that.
Thank you for allowing me to do that. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, thank you. I was just taking notes as you were talking. I wanted to thank you, regardless of my if I get a block or if I'm writing.
You don't get. Hold on. I want you to listen to me. You don't get a block. You block yourself. You stop the performance flow. It's an active process. You're writing that story. If it's not what you want, then understand the process. That's what's important about any performance, including writing. Understand the process to enter and sustain a state of mind, a performance flow. This is what, remember I mentioned early on, this is what writers do. They enter a state of mind. Artists, authors, that and athletes, anybody who performs, surgeons, speakers, you enter a performance zone, and you can thrive there and do whatever it takes to sustain it. Because in that performance zone, that's flow. Things go automatically. You have access to all of the information in all of your different states of mind when you're in that grounded and centered state and in performance flow, because that's what you've grooved, and it becomes practice. Practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. So you want to practice what you most want to do, which is to get in that performance state and stay there for the designated time. And I remember the suggestions I made. If you find yourself blocked or stymied in some way, notice whatever triggered it. Get back into state and do that. You don't get to go to the mall. You write about why you write about the process of blocking yourself, you know. So thank you for mentioning that and agreeing to look at it with me, and I appreciate you bringing it to the foreground, because I think that's a very common experience and it, almost ubiquitous.
Well, thank you. Thank you for coaching me. I just wanted to thank you for just the overall experience and all the information. There were times where I felt like it was just an overwhelming amount of information, but it's just, I'm sure, part of the journey. So
I share that with you. I was overwhelmed too, so you got it. No, I know this was a lot of stuff. This was like asking, you know, what do you think I ought to be doing? It's like, you know, and then suddenly you're at the end of a fire hose. And that's always my dilemma, because there's so much I want to convey. I would prefer, and what I'm accustomed to from both, you know, teaching and training psychiatry, psychoanalysis, and training is a seminar kind of format, but this has to be compressed into a lot of stuff, so that's why it's recorded, so if you go back and, you know, see if you can make more sense of it later. But I know there's not enough time to develop this, to co-create this as might be ideal in a learning situation. There's a lot of stuff. There's no question about it. Hopefully some of it will be useful and stick, and you can go back and listen to other aspects that didn't make sense at the time. There's still a possibility that they don't make sense even when you listen to them again. And I agree with most of what I've said, even. So, anything else before we stop? We're basically almost at the end of even our extension. Anything else anybody wants to say or add or ask before we wrap up? I'll be interested to hear what you're up to, of your successes. If you have any questions, let me know. I can't, you know, take on, you know, mentor coaching of each of you with questions and email, but I'm very interested in what you're up to, and send me a progress note. I'll be very eager to hear and to celebrate your successes with you. Any final word or comment or question before we wrap up? Thank you very much for all of your participation, especially the responses that you sent in, and listening to this, and those of you who even weren't present tonight who come back and listen to it. Thanks very, very much. I'll be eager to hear what you're up to. I hope I can be of help to you in a continuing way in some way. Thanks so much. Bye now.